Hey, this is Pearls and Swine. This is Levi. Across from me is Travis, and to my right is John. Today we're going to do a little unpacking of a very familiar statement that Jesus made, do not judge or you will be judged. We're going to really be looking at, is this mean that we cannot judge people? That is often quoted, I think, when people do not like what we're saying, or they're attempting to silence their critics. In a cancel culture, it seems like it plays out well, Jesus' words. And yet, is that actually what he meant?
That's out of Sermon on the Mount, correct?
One of his parts.
And so, shortly after that, that's where we get our Pearls and Swine podcast name.
Wow.
So I was just enamored that we have a chance to talk about that, but that's not where we're going.
No, that's actually a good point. He says in Matthew chapter 7, and he says, do not judge unless you're going to be judged. And then just a few verses later, he says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to the pigs. Do not cast your pearls before swine, if you want to go old King Jimmy on that. What he's talking about there is a discernment. It has to be a judgment at that point.
That's a good point, because we think of just judging about this topic with the cancel culture and everything. It's just something that I don't like. And that wasn't the point here in this sermon. It was about something that is right or wrong, moral or immoral, biblically going that route of what God says to do or not to do. And I think those, as you look at it through the lens of discernment, we have to make those decisions. We have to make those calls with things in our lives, with people in our lives, in lots of different areas.
Yeah, this topic is an interesting one, because it seems to me that Jesus is talking about something different here than how we typically think of this in terms of what you're judging. I'm looking at the passage, and right after that, we get the don't look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. It's this idea of you need to be fit to be able to judge some things. And his point here, I think, is that when we're talking about spiritual things or even moral things, there's a judge that is beyond us or outside of us that we're not fit to make his calls.
Well, and we know that Jesus is going to be the ultimate judge at some point in our lives, and that's for eternity. So that carries some weight with it, and it's not our worldly perspective per se that is really what he's getting at. It's this eternal thing. And as you continue on in that passage, verse 5, he calls him, you hypocrite, take that plank out of your own eye. And I think you get to talking with a lot of people, and people that are in my close circle, I've had these deep conversations with about hypocrisy within the church. And that comes from them feeling judged, and oftentimes the conversation that they felt or the topic that they felt judged about is actually some way that they should not be living. And so we get this feeling of like, you tell me what I'm doing is wrong and it hurts, and it should hurt. I think it should sting to change our hearts and put us into a place of repentance. But we don't always like to hear those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the nuance of the word judge is there's a few ways you could think about it. Like, there's going to be a prize at the end of this, and I'm going to judge which one of you is worthy of the prize. There's really not a prize, just so you don't get excited. You could use it that way. There's another way you could use it in the sense of judging an action. Was, am I deeming that good or evil? You could also judge somebody's eternal fate. And I think that latter one is really a hard one. Jesus says we'll be recognizable by fruit in our lives. We'll be recognizable by the love that is within us, those types of things. And those are characteristics. But to blanketly say for somebody, they could never, ever be under God's grace, I think that's partially what he's talking about. Like, you can't hold that to somebody, even like Hitler.
Yeah, we can't make that judgment call.
Right. Like, the evils of Hitler, is he above and beyond God's grace? Well, the answer to that is no, he's not. If he repented and came to Jesus and saving his saving grace, then I think we have to say that he's in heaven, even though I don't think there's a lot of people that would want him there.
Yep.
No, it's a hard thing for us to stomach. Because we have our own worldly perspectives. But you're right, as we dig into Scripture, and even later on in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave us permission to discern right from wrong, to be able to tell other people right from wrong, based on his his rules, and we talk about house rules within the family of God, and like there are ways that God wants you to live, and there are ways that God says absolutely don't do that, and it's for our own good. And so sometimes in my own life, I need accountability. I need people that can see some of those blind spots mm-hmm. in those areas. So judgment isn't always bad.
Yeah.
You want somebody to come at it with humility. You don't want to just be blasted on, you know, you did this and they plastered all over Facebook without telling you, really, that stings a little bit more than having somebody that actually cares about you and is like, hey, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I saw you talking to your wife and you're not nice. You better check your tongue.
There's something about the way that you give that judgment in the way that you're talking about with like accountability with somebody mm-hmm. where Jesus, part of the, what he's talking about here is you're going to be judged the way you judge other people. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have mercy, if you don't have grace, that's the way you will be judged too. And so there's something important there, I think, about the posture, mm-hmm. if you will.
Correct. I think that part of the problem is that we take a one little chunk of scripture, and that's the problem of proof texting something, because one mm-hmm. chapter later, Jesus talks about not listening to the false prophet or watch out for the false prophet. Well, how in the world am I supposed to listen or understand the false prophet without some type of judgment or right. some type of discernment? I'm going back to the scripture and going, wait a second, homie, that's not what the scriptures actually say. This is what it says.
Yeah.
And that's a form of judgment within that. And he's actually condoning it in just the next chapter. Mm. Galatians talks about confronting your brother or sister, but you're to do it gently. Mm-hmm. To do it gently. So you practice, Matthew is 18, church discipline. We're to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. Well, the reason that we're speaking the truth, the reason that God spoke the truth to us is because we were under God's wrath. We were under his judgment. Mm-hmm. And so why would he tell us not to do something that he himself is doing? He does judge people. Mm-hmm. And if you do not know who Jesus is, if you do not know that he lived, he died, and he rose again, the Bible says that you are under his wrath, not Jesus' wrath, but the wrath of God. And you have already been condemned. And condemnation comes out of judgment.
Well, there's a whole book in the Bible, the Old Testament, called Judges, and God put these judges in place to judge. There were sins going on. Like, he wasn't saying don't judge. He wasn't saying everything goes. There are rules. There are established patterns of behavior of how you should live life, and there are things that are okay and things that are not okay. As we look throughout the New Testament, Scripture goes on to say, like in John, it talks about there are ways that we should not judge. Don't judge by mere appearances. John 7:24,
I think that is.
You're right. I just had to look at my notes for that. But like, there are ways to correctly judge things, and there are ways to incorrectly judge things.
I remember the first time I came to Evangel, they had something called table groups. I walked down there and nobody knew who I was. Not that I'm something now, but nobody knew me by name at all. They just thought I was a common visitor at the church. And I was actually kind of checking it out to see if this would be a place that God would be calling us into. And so I walked down to these table groups, which were really sermon-based Bible studies. And this one guy looked a little bit disheveled. And I thought, okay, well, I'll sit with him. And so we began to talk. He opens up the Bible and he's like a Bible brilliant scholar whiz. And I totally in my head was not expecting that.
Yeah, right.
And that passage in Matthew 7:24, I'm like, oh yeah, don't, you know, kind of the whole idea of don't judge a book by its cover type of a thing. Dude totally knew the scriptures. It just like put me to a place of humility, like, oh God, sorry about that one.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of what Jesus is getting at is that we need to stop judging by mere appearances. Even God himself doesn't judge that way. He judges man by their heart, it says.
That's what I was going to say. To me, it's about what measuring tool you're using, what standard you're using to measure by or to judge by. As you were telling that story, I was thinking about that passage about God doesn't see things the way that the world sees things and his judgment is different than that. You know, all of that is wrapped up in this too.
Mm-hmm. Well, we see things so superficially. I mean, I can think of just instances of that not in the church where, you know, you see somebody in that first impression that you have them, you're like, we're never gonna be friends, mm-hmm. we're never gonna be buddies. And then you actually get to know them, you spend some time with them and you're like, man, you actually have a really awesome personality, you have a really incredible heart, or you find out like they're a brilliant biblical scholar or things like that, and you're like, you know, it kind of blows your mind and you're like, man, I start to feel bad for my judgy, superficial heart. God can check us in those things.
Yeah, I think the other thing is the harsh form of judgment all through the scriptures, the meta-narrative, the larger story of scripture constantly reminds us that we are always to be gentle toward everyone. Titus talks about that. It's constantly there for us to show mercy, to be gentle toward one another. Why becomes the question? Well, the reason is because guess what? That measure will also be given to you, and you want to be spoken gently to. You want to be judged with a certain amount of mercy. So the people of God, when we do judge, and we should judge, it's in that sense of being how we would want to be judged. And I know for me, there's times where people just, they're being truly knuckleheads. And the natural tendency for us is to hammer down, right? Like, we're going to go after this person. We're going to do that. That's just the natural tendency. And just to be reminded of that, when someone does do something wrong or wrongs you, and that happens in the church, especially to those in leadership. Yeah.
No.
Yes. People say things to us that they would never say to anyone. How do you respond to that sign of maturity?
Mm-hmm.
When you're walking in that and you're able to somehow respond with a certain amount of grace.
Yeah, you can speak truth and love.
You can speak truth. Yeah. My problem is I want to speak truth, but rarely in love.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time I think about that, I mean, that Ephesians 4 in speak truth and love thing that Paul talks about, okay, we have to have these two things together. When you separate them, we get off balance and mixed up, you know? So if you're trying to share truth, which for our conversation, we could say judgment. If you're doing it in love, to me, what Paul's talking about there is love represents our motivation. And so oftentimes I think we're passing judgment or sharing truth where love isn't the motivation. And that's where things get out of whack. And that's where we stray from how I think God would have us to handle those kinds of situations.
Well, Jesus comes full of grace and truth. And there's this beautiful mix. Can you imagine if God just came like AC/DC? Like, thunder, I'm coming, I'm caught in the middle of the railroad track. Thunder.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Which is, you know, funny enough, you fast forward to the book of Revelation, that's a little bit of the picture that some of those songs would fit. But we get the gospels before that. We get Jesus coming down before
we get
that.
This grace and truth.
Yeah,
before.
And it's amazing.
Yeah.
The interesting part of looking at those two things, grace and truth, love and truth, they're hard to do. Like, you have to be intentional about it. It's not something, like you said, that we naturally have inside us. Right. Somebody wrongs us and we see some judgment that needs to be addressed, and our tendency is to just light them up, just go. But if you are intentional about that stuff, it's a lot easier to handle. It takes longer. Because you got to think about it. You got to plan your words wisely. You know, God talks about having wise counsel and seeking out those things so that we can handle that stuff, I think, better. I mean, he's not blatantly saying that in scriptures, but it helps you out. And so when you think back of just like how much grace and mercy and love we've been given as children of God, like, it makes sense that we should try to pursue that too. But it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think another one is bearing false witness. And we see that and we're like, I never bear false witness. Mm-hmm. Oh, but we embellish the story a bit.
Yeah.
Like, they did this and this is why I did this. That, I think, is on the border of bearing false witness.
Yeah.
And not having a proper perspective on certain things and understanding that is, I think, part of that.
That is a fantastic thing to point out, because we're all married here. How many times have we ever been in an argument with our spouse where we have had different perceptions on what happened? What time is it today? It's probably happened. I've seen my wife.
We don't understand what you're saying.
Okay, good. I'm the only one.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
There's only one perception. Mine. Yeah. That's correct.
If you want to have a good evening tonight, then you know it's hers. So. But yeah. That happens with every situation. You look at a police report on an accident and they interview multiple witnesses. Everybody's got a slightly different version of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when we come with some amount of humility or some amount of softness into most of those conversations and with our wives or whatever.
Especially with our wives.
You know, it changes things. And sometimes it is the lack of humility and the pride that is actually in our heart as we're watching somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of screw up. And the scriptures are, again, in the larger narrative of scripture, what does God hate? He hates the proud. Mm-hmm. God, or he opposes the proud.
Well, and Jesus fought against the most proudest, is proudest a word? The most proud people throughout scripture.
Proud-filled?
Today is
proud-filled?
Proud-filled.
Today is okay. The day of new words from me, that's so good. Proudest. But that's who he was fighting against with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Like all those, Jesus was like, guys, you're not getting it. It's not about this. Like you got to level down here, love some people, love me, follow God's will, follow God's word.
Well, Jesus judged them though.
Yeah.
You whitewashed tombs.
Yeah. You pit yeah. of vipers.
Yeah.
And we've got it in James too. I mean, be quick to listen, slow to speak. You know, it's that kind of thing. So I think there's definitely some connection there with that idea.
Yeah. And it's not saying don't speak. Don't.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Don't address the yes. things that are against the way they should be.
Yeah. I think it's acknowledging there are weaknesses as humans. We have limited perspective. And I mean, honestly, sometimes it just takes a minute for our brains to catch up and see things the way
and that's being they actually are. Right?
Yeah, right. How this relates back to judging to me is just recognizing my fallibility and not rushing to judgment. I mean, we've said that throughout this time already, but it's important.
One of the most famous judgments that we can see within the scriptures is when, is it Nathan, judges David? Oh, who's the guy that comes and tells him the story and he tells him this big long story and David gets all in.
I think you're right. I think it's Nathan. It's Nathan.
Yeah.
And he gets all like indignant.
And he's like, it was you.
Yeah.
He painted this picture so that the guy, that David could be like, yeah, that's unjust. That's unfair. We mm-hmm. should stand against that. And then Nathan's like, dude, that was you. That is you. That's what you did.
But he was still the king and there was a respect issue mm-hmm. there. Yeah. Well, maybe there's a fear issue too that he was going to just kill him if he just came out and said it. But
yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was coming to the king saying, hey, you need to fess up for killing someone. So he had a good reason to be scared, I think. Yeah. He's not sure what this guy's going to do. Yeah. That's a great, great illustration of that.
Thanks for listening. We want you to know that God loves you and that he has sent his son for you. And we are free when we place our trust in him.
If you guys have any questions or comments, feel free to send those in to travis@evangelup.org. And if you liked what we chatted about today, or you didn't, or you want to hear more and just see what we've got for episodes of Pearls and Swine,
don't judge us.
Don't judge us. And you can check us out on your Apple device or Google device. Just search out your podcast, Evangel Houghton Podcast, on Apple or Google Play, and you can find us. And you can always check out the latest episodes of Pearls and Swine on our website at evangelup.org.